Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now we continue our program on the Book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers from Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry.
Finally, in the image are the feet and toes, which are a mixture of iron and clay. This, and we're going to see later on when we get to chapter 7, which is parallel to the image here in chapter 2, that there's going to be a revived form of the Roman Empire that's going to develop at the end of Gentile world dominion upon planet Earth. And it will still have tremendous strength. So there's iron there in the feet and toes, indicating that in its final form, a revived Roman Empire, it'll have tremendous military strength and power to dominate the world. But there's clay mixed together with the toes and the feet. And clay and iron don't naturally adhere to each other. This was God's way of foretelling that in the last form of this revived Roman Empire, it would be subdivided into 10 divisions, 10 toes, 10 divisions. And we're going to see that even more clearly when we come to Daniel chapter 7. 10 divisions, federated together for a power and influence, but with 10 equal co-rulers at the same time. Now, the last thing in the dream, as we mentioned earlier, was a stone. That all of a sudden in this dream, while Nebuchadnezzar is looking at this huge image, there's a stone cut out of the side of a mountain upon planet Earth. And that stone comes and it just pummels the feet of this image. And as a result, the whole image just collapses into very, very fine particles and all the rest. And then a wind comes and blows away every remnant of that great image. Now, what's interesting again is this. As I mentioned before, the Babylonians believed that the gods came out of a mountain, came out of the side of a mountain. They also believed that winds is a divine activity. And God, knowing that was their thinking, he's demonstrating to them that when God is done, the God of heaven is done with Gentile world empires, he's going to have Gentile world empires shattered by this stone. But because they believed that gods came out of a mountain, and this stone comes out of the mountain, that was God's way of trying to drive home, there's another God who's going to destroy all the remnants of Gentile world power upon planet Earth. And as he was watching that dream, that stone grew and grew and grew until it became a huge mountain that filled the entire Earth. This was God's way of foretelling to Nebuchadnezzar, after the God of heaven, Daniel's God, is done with Gentile world power, he is going to establish his kingdom upon planet Earth, upon planet Earth. It's going to be a divine ordained kingdom here upon planet Earth, referring to the future millennial kingdom that God had already been foretelling, you know, to the Jewish people and everything in the Old Testament scriptures. And with the stone, first of all, it comes out and it crushes Gentile world dominion, gets rid of it. Interestingly, what's intriguing is this. Jesus, twice in the Bible, is called the stone. It's called the stone. And the Babylonians connected their kingdoms with their God, their chief God, and this was God's way of foretelling that in the future, God has the last great king for planet Earth, and that's going to be the Messiah. And when he comes to planet Earth, he's going to crush and get rid of Gentile world dominion under the Antichrist and all the rest. And then he's going to set up God's kingdom here upon planet Earth to fill the whole earth, that the whole world, for the last 1,000 years of its history, will be ruled over by God's Son. It'll be the God of heaven, Israel's God, that's going to restore his kingdom rule to planet Earth in the future. Well, as a result of all this, if you want the references for Jesus being called the stone, Matthew 21, verses 33 to 45, Matthew 21, verses 33 to 45, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Jesus is called the stone. Nebuchadnezzar was so astounded of the accuracy, at least of the content of the dream, And Daniel's interpretation, he gave Daniel great gifts to honor him, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Now, the kingdom of Babylon had several provinces, but the province of Babylon would be where the capital city is and some of the surrounding area. And he also appointed Daniel to be the head over all the wise men. Here's this kind of a young upstart, now is appointed by the king to be in authority over the men who had taught him there when he went through the training session together with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So what was being demonstrated there was God's sovereign rule over Gentile rule and kingdoms during the future course of world history. Now we come to chapter 3. And what's portrayed in chapter 3 is God's rule over Gentile punishment demonstrated. God's rule over Gentile punishment demonstrated. And you're probably very familiar with this about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego going in the fiery furnace. But when you come to the opening part of Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had a gigantic image made that, according to ancient records, converted into our way of measuring today, was about 90 feet high. Now, they claim that probably that included a large stool for it to stand upon, but it was a huge image, and it was 9 feet wide. But notice, this one is all gold. Why do you think Nebuchadnezzar wanted an image that's all gold instead of just a head of gold, you know, on the image in his dream? I think this was his way of saying, Daniel, your God is wrong. Babylon's never going to fall to other kingdoms at all. And so I'm demonstrating that by making this image from the head down to the feet and toes of nothing but gold. That was his way of showing his contempt for what God had revealed actually to the dream. Now, once that was erected, according to chapter 3 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar required all the chief officers of his kingdom to be present on the day that they were going to dedicate that image for the honor of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom. Now, instantly, Daniel wasn't there. We don't know why, and all we can figure is maybe he had already been sent somewhere else within the kingdom on important business, more important than his being there. But Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, were there on that day of dedication. And all the officers that were there were commanded to fall down with their face to the ground to worship the image at a given signal. And Nebuchadnezzar made it very clear, if any of my officers fail to bow down and worship that image, death is going to take place for you. You're going to be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Of blazing fire. By the way, according to Jeremiah 29, verse 22, that was one of the favorite ways of Babylonian kings punishing people who disobeyed them. They would be burnt to death in a blazing fire. Well, now Daniel's three friends have a dilemma. Because if they were to bow down and worship that image, they would thereby violate the first two of God's Ten Commandments for the people of Israel. And now they're in a struggle. What do? If we obey the king, then we disobey God. And we're going to be subject to God's wrath. If in order to avoid God's wrath, we disobey the king, then we're going to be subject to his wrath. Could you imagine the predicament they were confronted with? Well, by God's grace, Daniel's friends refused to worship the image. And Nebuchadnezzar was so enraged by that he declared to them that the furnace would be fired so heavily, be so hot, now notice the language, that no God would be able to deliver you. And they still said, we must obey God rather than man. And that enraged him, that the Hebrew text says that Nebuchadnezzar's face got distorted with rage. He was so angry with these young upstarts. Then he picked his strongest soldiers to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in such a way that there's no way they could stand up on their own or walk around whatsoever. And then he ordered those men to throw them into the furnace. Well, it didn't work out the way Nebuchadnezzar decided. that it would be or planned it to be. When the soldiers dragged them up that ramp to drop them in, when they dropped them in, the blast of heat came out so strongly it killed those soldiers right on the spot. All this emphasizing the deadly circumstance for those Jewish young men. Well, while Nebuchadnezzar's sitting there looking in, he saw five things that startled him, according to the record in Daniel chapter 3. The first thing startled him was there were four persons in that fire. And he said to his other men, "Didn't we throw three in there?" "Yeah." "Well, there's a fourth one in there. Where'd that person come from?" The next thing that startled him was none of them were bound. The Jewish young men were no longer bound hand and foot anymore. And on top of that, third thing, all four of them were walking around. They weren't even trying to get out of the fire. They're just walking around inside the fire there, and none of them were lying down, which you would have thought with Shadrach, Meshach dropped in with their feet bound, they probably would have flopped right over when they hit the bottom of it. But none of them were lying down. And the fourth thing that startled him was all four of them were not hurt. They were just walking around in there, almost like they were enjoying what was going on inside that fire. All four of them were unhurt. And then the fifth thing that startled him, and this is what he said, one looked like a son of the gods, plural. That fourth person there, he said, looks like a son of the gods. Babylonians, according to their theology, believed that their gods had sons. Ancient records indicate that. And this was Nebuchadnezzar's pagan way of saying that that fourth person looked like a divine or a supernatural being. A divine or a supernatural being. Later, in verse 28, he said to his other cohorts outside the fiery furnace, he said that that fourth person, it must be that God sent his angel. Now again, to ancient Babylonian records, the word translated angel was also used for deity. And so the question is, who was that fourth person? Was it an angel, or was it the Lord Jesus in one of his pre-incarnate appearances coming in there to protect those three young men who were willing to die for the honor and glory of the true and the living God, the God of heaven? Well, when it's obvious to Nebuchadnezzar they weren't going to die, he called them out. And he referred to them as servants of the Most High God. He began to get the impression now there is a God that's higher than our Babylonian gods, the Most High God. And all the officials hurried up and gathered around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to look at them. And there were four things that amazed them. Number one, their bodies weren't blistered at all from the intense heat. Number two, their hair wasn't singed at all. Number three, their clothing was not scorched at all. And finally, there wasn't even any smell of smoke on their bodies. Again, here was God's demonstrating his sovereign rule over Gentile punishment. Amen. Over Gentile punishment. And so Nebuchadnezzar praised the God of Israel. He praised the Jewish men for their faith and devotion to their God. And he decreed that anyone who would say anything offensive against their God would be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, is what he said to all of his people within his kingdom. If any of you says anything negative about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this is what's going to be done to you. He's getting more and more the idea of who this God of Israel is and his tremendous power and ability and authority.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynolds Showers, who went over the book of Daniel at a recent prophecy conference here at IBJM. And we invite you to come back next week as we will continue our series on the book of Daniel with Dr. Reynolds Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150 or go to our website at ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.